Now it's recording.
Yep.
Okay. Recording.
Well, God bless, and thank you, Kenny and Geneva, and all the believers here for letting me. I actually crashed the party, so. Let's just be real clear. Kenny didn't invite me. I told him I was coming. But I knew I always had an invitation to come, so that wasn't a problem. But he did offer me the opportunity to share the word, so I'm really happy for that. I should also let you know, some of you I can tell already have some bad feelings against the shirt that I'm wearing. So let me explain this real quick. I know I'm eating up my time already, but that's okay. So I wanted to wear this. Some of you may not know. Actually, even though I live in Illinois, I've been up there for going on close to 25 years with my wife, Sheila. Many of you know her from her singing and some of that. And I've got some CDs over there if you're interested in those. But I originally grew up in Topeka, Kansas. So this is for all my Kansas brethren that have shown up today. So I wore that to them. And of course, then Gary and I, some of you know, we go way, way back. Gary was actually in the Word in Topeka when I first started coming around. And so I consider him, I'm the oldest in my family, but I told Gary I consider him as my dear brother. So I'm blessed, always blessed to see him and his family. So it's a blessing for me to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I love the topic that we're talking about, that we're in it for the love. Because when we start to look at why do we stick around, we don't stick around because of necessarily biblical research, although that's really important, right? Some of us may stick around because we also get good food that comes with the fellowship that we have. But we really are in it for the love, for the things that we get out of it. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about my background in sales that I did for a number of years. And one of the things that you first learn about sales is that you don't sell on facts. You sell on benefits. That's what people buy. So we were having breakfast this morning, and we were talking about cars and things like that. So Donna Wright, you have the Honda. Mm-hmm. So she has a Honda, and so when she bought that, she probably had ideas of what she wanted in that car. So they could have come out and told her all kinds of facts, but in the end, it was probably some benefits that she got out of it that sells. So when we think about benefits of what people are looking for, we can give them facts. So I wrote down a few. So when we go out and we witness to people, we start to share the word or give our lives to people and tell them about what God's made available, and we say, did you know that God created the heavens and the earth? Did you know that there are 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit? That Jesus Christ died with 4 others? That there's 66 books in the Bible? And that the Bible is God-breathed? Now you might say, wow, that's really interesting. But it's probably not going to get you to say, that's the group I want to join. They sold me on the 66 books. I got it. So that's not what gets them in, but what if you're talking about we are forgiven? We can have eternal life, or you can have eternal life. God wants you completely healed from everything that oppresses you, that holds you back, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, financial. You're more than a conqueror in each and every situation in life, and that God loves you as an individual.
Amen.
Now that might be something that finally grabs your attention, because that's a benefit. That's something that we get out of it. We know all the Word, probably as much as anybody in the world. We probably know the Bible. I'm not saying we have all the answers, but we certainly understand what it takes for the Bible to interpret itself, the keys to interpretation, put a lot of things together. But in the end, that's not what keeps us here, right? It's got to be those benefits that we get from God. You can go to Psalm 103:2, but I'm sure most of you know this verse by heart. We can actually start in verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So this psalmist is, and I believe the psalmist, according to what it's written in here, is David. David says, bless the Lord. Man, I'm so blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's not all the facts about God. It's not all the details that God has laid out. It's about the benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Why? Because it's the benefits that really bring us in and get us to want to be involved. So when I started looking at this love and then God and all this kind of stuff, I'm staying over at John's house, and so I got up on the computer this morning, and I just put in a word search, and I just put in love, and I put in God. So it starts to do a search through the whole Bible, and it finds those words when they're relatively close together. Now, this is not an extensive study. John, would I spend 20 minutes on the computer? So this is my 20-minute word study that I did on love and God. And it was interesting because as I started looking at it, what I found is that when you put those two words together, in the Old Testament, most of the time, and again, remember, this is a 20-minute word study, so in that time, it was interesting as I read through all the verses that were in there with those two words close together. In the Old Testament, most of the time, it talked about that they were to love God. It didn't talk about God's love towards them. It was that they were to love God. It did talk about God's love for certain individuals. It did talk about that. And it did say that God loved Israel as a people. But when it talked about the kind of love of God that we are talking about today, that wasn't really talked about. Now, it's interesting to me, and again, I'm giving this a ton of thought, so I'm putting it out there maybe as consideration. For the stuff that Tom taught about the agape and agapeo, they couldn't manifest that. That's a spiritual love that isn't available. So they had to operate in the love of God the best that they could based on what the law said. I mean, this much of the Bible is, a lot of it is the law and how it's to be applied, the examples of people who lived it and the lives that they went through. So as they operate those things, it taught them how to love God, as we talked about, and how to love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus Christ came along. And Jesus Christ is the Word in the flesh. He represented God in how God would be. If God was a human being, this is how God would have acted among people. So he is the living Word in the flesh. So he comes, and he has that Spirit of God upon him, right? He has that. So in his life, what does he start to do? He starts to exemplify what that type of love is all about. And he starts to talk about loving God and loving others. Those new commandments that he talked about, that's something different. They hadn't heard that before. They knew they were to love God, and this is how you did it. Now they're supposed to utilize that love in a different way and much higher than what it was before. That's a different kind of love. They hadn't seen that love. So Jesus Christ, as he came in, he starts to demonstrate and show that kind of love to people. You know what? You can't give what you don't have. And so one of the things that we have now is when we got born again, and so I'm glad that you read that verse in Romans 10:9. I think that's a great way to start. If you haven't done that, you need to start there and then catch up with us. So once you get born again, you have something that you didn't have before. You have the Spirit of God residing within you. You didn't have that. It was not there. Every time a person gets born again, that Spirit of God is created in that individual. It is unique to that individual. And they have all the traits that come with it. So with that comes this love of God, the capability to have that love of God spiritually. So we have that love of God, and Jesus Christ was able to demonstrate that. We talked about the difference between phileo love and the agapeo love. The phileo love is man's best capability to love. It basically says, if you treat me well, I'll treat you well. But you know what? If you don't treat me well, I might not treat you so well either. But basically, the best I'm going to do is I'll treat you the best that I can. With the love of God, it goes beyond that. So when we talk about the theme, we're in it for the love, I started thinking about, what about, how do we get them in it for the love? So, sorry, I changed your theme just a little bit. I'm never going to get invited again. 1 John actually is a great book, again, in that kind of that study that I did. When you start looking at these two words, love and God, and you start putting them together, it's like, not a lot, not a lot, not a lot, and all of a sudden you hear 1 John, it's like verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. It talks about how we love God, and then how we love our brothers, how we love others, and really how we love ourselves. So, as I was thinking about what I wanted to share this morning, so my introductory statements here, I wanted to go to John, and really, this is about the only place that we're going to go this morning, because I wanted to give an example of this love that we're talking about, and the benefits. This is a love that can't be explained, but it can be seen, it can be felt, it can be heard. You know, there's a manifestation that once it's out there, people recognize it. They recognize it beyond anything that they've seen before. And you know what? If you've been in darkness, any little bit of light really shines out. I always think about back years and years ago, we went to visit in Ohio. We went down to the Ohio Cavern. So if any of you have ever been down there, it was the first time I'd ever been in one of these kind of places. So we get down deep enough underground, and they say, okay, everybody stay still, but we're going to turn the lights out. So they turn the lights out, and then they gave our eyes about a minute or so to kind of readjust to the darkness. And what was amazing is that I could put my hand this close, and I could not see it. I mean, there was no light there. And then one guy lit, I don't know if it was a match or a tiny, but it wasn't a bright light, a small little light, and it lit up the whole room. Wasn't a lot of light, but it was the only light. When people see the love of God, it reminds me of that. They see something that in the darkness of this world, it doesn't have to be that bright, but it's brighter than anything else that shines around. So when we look at John chapter 9, we're going to take a look at an example of how Jesus Christ, when he was here, remember, he is the Word in the flesh. He represented what God on earth. He was showing them this love. So he talked about it, but he not only talked about it, he demonstrated it. So in John chapter 9, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So he must have been looking for something to be able to have seen it. Now, it doesn't mean that this guy, he'd never seen him before. He might have seen him a number of times. I have no idea. But he saw him. So something was different this time when he saw this man. So he must have been looking. He must have had an awareness of what was going on around him and aware of the people and the individuals around him. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? There was a teaching or a philosophy or a doctrine or whatever you want to call it that sometimes because of the sins of the parents, if a parent had sinned, the child might actually have the results of that sin that show up. Or did this man sin? You know, now God is paying him back for the sins that he had. So basically, you can imagine that this man might have heard this all his life. So kind of picture yourself as the blind man for a minute. So you're sitting there, you hear some people walking by, and all of a sudden they stop right in front of where you're sitting. So kind of imagine, you can't see them, but you can hear them. And all of a sudden these men are walking by and they stop. And somebody says, hey, take a look at this guy sitting down here, the blind man. Is he the sinner or did his parents sin? So either way, he's got it coming to him because either his parents blew it or he blew it. So you're sitting there going, oh, I heard this my whole life. I mean, I was born blind, right? So something must have been wrong. So in my life somewhere, I got sin. Everybody knows it was either my parents or me. Something caused this in my life. And so people look down on me. And so he's sitting there, in a sense, kind of minding his own business. And all of a sudden they're having this doctrinal discussion right over the top of you. They're not even talking to you. They're talking about you. Now, maybe you've been in a situation where you've had people stand there and they talk about you right in front of you, but you're not part of the conversation. So that's kind of where he was at. And Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now, I've heard this taught different ways, but in some cases I've been told if you're going to punctuate or put a period there, he just said basically, look, it wasn't his parents and it wasn't this man. That's not the reason. But in contrast, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So he said, it wasn't his parents, it wasn't him. But let me tell you what. The greatness of God's works are going to be manifest because I am going to do the works that God sent me. You're going to see something happen here. Something's happening. Now, if you're that blind man, you've got your attention. It's like, oh, I don't know what this is, but this is the first time I've ever heard that it wasn't me or my parents. And he said something is going to be manifested to manifest the works of God. So something's different in this situation. So my ears are starting to perk up a little bit. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he hears this conversation. That's what's recorded. There might have been more that happened, more of the conversation that took place. But he heard this discussion that Jesus Christ was having with the disciples that walked with him. So now he knows something's going to happen. And he said, so again, remember, you can't see. But he says, I'm in the world and I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, so he finished speaking, all of a sudden, here you are, the blind man hears. What is going on there? And Jesus Christ spits into the dirt. He grabs that little bit of mud that's made from that, and he goes over and he rubs it into your eyes. And you got to think, whoa, this is different. Nobody's ever done that before. And he says, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, there's Oriental custom that says that the spit of a holy man is healing. Yeah. So I don't know if he knew that. I don't know if that was a custom. Whatever it was, this is what God told him to do. So that's what he did. He makes this mud. He puts it into his eyes. Now, great thing to do for a blind man, right? Okay. I don't know if that's where here's mud in your eye comes from. Or that. I don't know. I just thought about that. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Now it's interesting that that's all he did. He didn't take him. He just told him to go wash. Now the guy must have been able to get around somehow. So, and he must have known where this pool was. But somehow, that was the word. And I could have said, oh my God, what did this guy just do to me? I mean, come on. I mean, it's bad enough. But instead, he was told something. And it says, and he went and washed and came what?
Seeing.
Now we're talking about the love of God here. Is this a loving act toward an individual? If you've been blind all your life and all of a sudden somebody came by, first of all, and told you that it wasn't your fault, it wasn't your parents' fault, how much deliverance would that be? And then the next thing he does is said, look, that mud I put in your eye, when you go wash it out in this pool, you're gonna see. Go wash. And so he had a choice. No. Yep, either way, he's going to get a result. He said, yes, I'm going to do that. Off to the pool of Siloam he went, and he says he came seeing. So when we talk about the love of God and it being manifested out so that people can see it, we talked about the benefits. This man got a benefit because somebody, Jesus Christ, loved him enough to first of all see him and then correct the wrong teaching that had been around him and then do something for him. What if he had just said, no, no sin here, and then walked off? Might have blessed the guy, but there was more he could do. So then the neighbors get involved. Then the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he's like him, but he said, look, I am he. So all of a sudden they got around, oh my God, you see George? George can see now. They said, no, I think that looks like George, but that's not really. You remember George is blind, he can't see. He's going, it's me, I can see, I'm the blind guy. Then therefore they said to him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered, and he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So he's telling them the story. He's reiterating that story. How many times have my wife Sheila can tell you, she's heard my stories hundreds and hundreds of times. So, you know, we get stories that we share and things that we talk about. So how many, he's starting to tell a story. It just happened. And he said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I'm blind. I was blind. I didn't see where he went. No, I don't know where he's at. You know he's a guy named by the name of Jesus. He came, put mud in my eye, he went, washed, now I see. Where is he? I don't know. Then they brought him to the Pharisees, him that four times blind. It was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asking how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay in my eyes and I wash and do see. Therefore some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. So while he's there relating the situation, they're arguing while he's standing there again. And he's trying to explain to them what's going on. So they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? Now instead of asking him to relate the story, they want his opinion on what he thinks about Jesus. Because that's where the debate is gone. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. So here they are. This great act has taken place. Now you can see the difference between the love of God and how the world sometimes will react. So they said, he's standing there relaying this. They have this big debate going on. And then they ask him what they think. And he said, look, he's a prophet. And they said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar. We don't believe you. And these are the leaders of the synagogue, right? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They said, you weren't even blind. You've probably been faking it your whole life. Until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So now they bring the parents in. And they ask him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. For who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, for he shall speak for himself. This love of God that Jesus Christ showed to this individual is now kind of turned 180 degrees on him. Because now he's got the Pharisees against him. Some of his own friends and neighbors don't believe him. And now his own parents are called in and they don't want to stand up for their son because they're afraid. Kenny talked about there's two motivations. There's love and there's fear. Well, here you're seeing fear in action. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was a Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. The culture in that time is when you were put out of synagogue, it was, you couldn't work, your friends wouldn't talk to you. I mean, if they saw you coming down the street, they would turn the other way, they could walk the other side. They would have nothing to do with you. You've heard people say, that person's dead to me. That's what it was like. That's where this man's life all of a sudden came to. Therefore, says parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Yes. He said, you can't take that away from me. I was blind and now I see. Regardless of anything else you want to talk about, that hasn't changed. Then they said to him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And they reviled him. Now they started calling him names and just treating him horribly. And said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. If they were Moses' disciples, why didn't they walk with what the law said? The law at least showed people how to love God and how to love their neighbor. Jesus Christ put that down. They're talking about Moses and saying all this, and yet they're not even demonstrating what Jesus Christ condensed the whole law to in two commandments. We know that God spake unto Moses, for this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So they're the opposite of the love that Jesus Christ showed. The exact opposite. Jesus Christ showed the love of God. He got the benefit of it. Now here's the religious leaders who should have been showing him that. And again, they contradicted exactly what Jesus Christ had just said. He was not a sinner. It wasn't his parents' fault. They said he was, and then they excommunicated him. You know what? The next phrase, verses are the ones that really blow my mind. Because it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. It must have been all over town, right? So George, the blind guy, gets healed. He gets taken to the Pharisees. They have this big debate, and now he's excommunicated. His parents can't even talk to him anymore. And Jesus must have heard about it. Must have been the talk on the street. And when he had found him, he went and looked for him. You know, he took the time to go look for him. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Man, oh man. When we do the love of God, that's the same thing that people will say about us. Maybe I don't know the physical Jesus, but I know the one that resides in you. I know the love of Christ, the love of God that resides in you because I see it. I see it in you. So when Jesus Christ said, wouldn't it have been great to say, hey, Mr. Blind Man, you're talking to him. No, he said, look, you're seeing and talking to me. He showed the love of God. He demonstrated that. He said, it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, you really mess up my life. I was perfectly happy being a blind man sitting out there. And yeah, it wasn't a great day, but generally my life wasn't all that bad. And what do? You come along, you put mud in my eye, I have to go wash it out, and now I'm excommunicated from all my family and friends, and my life is ruined. Could have said that. And you know what? Everything that he said would have been true. Because that's exactly what happened. But he said what? Lord, I believe. When people see the love of God in our lives, and they see it manifested, and they get the benefits in their life, you know what they're going to say? That's what I want. And where did you get it? I got it because I've got the Spirit of God that allows me to love to that kind of capability. Lord, I believe. That's what they're going to want to say. That's where we want to bring people. So we're in it for the love, but we want to get people into it with the love. So if I had to ask you a question, and I'll just make it available for anybody who wants to raise their hands. So if I had asked you what color love would look like, if you had to pick a color, what color do you think love would be? Yeah.
My favorite color is blue.
Blue.
Yeah.
So why blue?
Because it's a rich color. It's, it just stands out. You can see when you look at the skies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be a great color. If you could see love, you'd see blue. That'd be great. Okay. What about you?
Probably like a burgundy color.
Burgundy. Okay, so why burgundy?
I don't know. It's just like as long as I can remember, like hearts and love.
Okay.
That kind of connection.
Yeah, so kind of like Valentine's Day, everything's in red and all that kind of stuff. Okay. It comes from the heart, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay, I get that. Who else has? Yeah.
I'd say the rainbow. Colors of the rainmow, all the colors.
So all kind of, say all
yeah, because
bright,
like after a storm and a rainbow comes out, it just makes the whole you know, day better. And it's just, I just think a rainbow is just.
What makes sense when God showed his love, right, the covenant that he made, he did it in a rainbow.
He loves everything.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe yellow.
Okay.
Because it reminds me of the sun, and it's warm, and yet it's bright, and it's heavy. It's a heavy color.
So I think those are all great. But if you ask me what color I thought love would be, I would say brown. Yeah, I know, I'm looking at some faces. Why brown? Because brown represents dirt, muck, and nastiness, and filth, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? True love is somebody who's willing to reach down into the muck and mire of the world and help those people that are trapped in that. That's what love's all about. It's easy to be loving when we have the sunshine and the blue sky and all everything. It's easy for me to love you when we get along, but what happens when we don't get along? It's interesting when you read 1 John, it talks about he that hates his brother doesn't love God. It's right in there. So what about when things aren't so rosy and cheery and nice? What about that? The love of God loves the unlovable. So when the love of God, and there's a poem, and I forgot to bring it with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send it to Kenny by email, and he can get it out to you. But it's a poem written by a rough, tough marine called Love is Brown. My favorite poem ever written.
Oh, wow.
And he asked that question in there. Love is brown. So when you start thinking about the love of God, and you start thinking about that, think about love not being all the colors, because that is great. And it is part of it. But really, when we have to dig deep and pull that love out, it's that love is brown. And to get down in the muck and mire and the nastiness of people's lives sometimes, and to help them, Jesus Christ went and found them because of that love that he demonstrated that man said, Lord, I believe. And that's what we're looking for. So thank you for the opportunity to share God's word today.
All right, well, before we have lunch here, we got a little birthday today. We've got a couple of fellows. I'm going to let George lead a song here for us. Pray for the food.
Absolutely. My son, Steve Andrew. Stand up, guys. Twins, they are. It's their birthday today. So I thought we would sing them a wonderful song today. Fellowship, for the love that you've poured into our hearts, Father. Father, that we're from a distant land at times, and this is such a relief to hear and to sit and participate and be blessed. Father, I sure thank you for this opportunity. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the hearts here, for the wonderful food we're about to receive, but Father, most of all, for the word that's warming our hearts and making us sit things and see things straight, Father, and reconsider what we're doing. I sure thank you for our day and just the blessed opportunity it is to fellowship and to be renewed and to be blessed and to be straightened. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Cool, huh? Yeah. there too, Dearest Freak.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Okay.
That's great. We've got lunch back here. I think we got ham,
Georgia,
turkey, and beef. And you can pick out a box. I think the marker is a T, B, and H on the little box. So grab you one of them. We've got silverware and napkins. We got birthday cake. George brought some birthday cake. We've got picnic tables outside. You can sit on the picnic table if you want to, or you can eat in here, or whatever works for you, or let's fellowship and have some.
Hey, would you guys please sign these? Please.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're so sharp, man. I get blushed.